Good morning, church body. God is so good. And so we're going to start off, and Matt's going to roll a video for us, and then Ron's going to open us up in prayer.
Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord, or leave it there. If you trust Him through your doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. If the world from you withholds of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His word how He feeds the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord, oh, and leave it there. If you trust Him through your doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is slowly sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord, oh, and leave it there. If you trust Him through your doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there, leave it there.
Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this day and the opportunity that we have to come before You, Lord, and just leave all of our cares and just lay them at Your feet. And we thank You, Father, today that You're alive, that we can expect great things today, Father, if we open up our hearts and just believe that You are who You say You are. We thank You for, Father, what You've already done and what You're going to accomplish in our lives as we come before You today to give praise and honor to Your name. We pray for Freddie today as he brings the word. Father, that our hearts would be open to receive. That, Father, if there's scales over our eyes or anything that would keep us from receiving, we pray that that be removed. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's have the Naz singers come on up. Very exciting. So it's interesting how God works. Fred likes to get in the way of God. I don't know if any of you are that way, but I sure do that. But God put it on my heart that Ron should do the opening prayer today. And then I had another message, which was weird, was just leave Ron alone. Well, apparently the Holy Spirit was going to talk to Ron about doing that today. So he came up to me and he had a song and he wanted to do opening prayer. And I thought, thank you, God. One more time where Fred didn't have to manipulate anything. God is at work. And he is at work in so many different ways. So thank you all for being willing to serve, to being available to him. And it's hard at times when we grow and are humbled at moments. But, you know, he wants to see the best for us. And I just love that about him. And I also think that although I'm emceeing things, but people have jumped up to do the worship, to preach. I just think it's a beautiful thing. And the administration that goes on behind the scenes. So, you know, Rhonda and Sue and all the hard work they do. And then Cindy, of course, who is absolutely awesome as well. So thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Naz Singers.
I heard you sing better when you stand.
Yea, though I walk through the valley, I know that you are always right beside me, and I will fear no evil.
Oh, sorry about that. We'll just keep going.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I hear you singing over me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And it's beautiful. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It covers every part of me. My soul is silent, I am found. And it's a beautiful sound. It's a beautiful, beautiful sound. Carry me through the waters where your peace clears away all my sorrow, and nothing can separate us from your love. Oh, your love, it will always be. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I hear you singing over me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And it's a beautiful, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It covers every part of me. My soul is silent, I am found. And it's a beautiful sound. It's a beautiful, beautiful sound. You are healing in the pain. You were shelter in the storm. Hallelujah, you restore my soul. You were healing in the pain. You were shelter in the storm. Hallelujah, you restored my soul. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I hear you singing over me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It covers every part of me. My soul is silent, I am found. And it's a beautiful sound. It's a beautiful, beautiful sound. Shelter in the storm. Hallelujah, you restore my soul. Yeah. His love for me. Oh, His love for me.
Through the sunset's free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Free at last, He has ransomed me. His grace was deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Through the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
I am chosen, not forsaken.
I am who You say I am.
You are for me, not against me.
I am who You say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out.
anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give it.
It says in Zechariah 6, not by might nor by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Lord, we just invite your spirit here today. God, I'm on my knees again. God, I'm begging, please again, I need you. Oh, God, I need you. Walking down these desert roads, water for my thirsty soul, I need you. Oh, I need you. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my. Like a sound of a symphony to my ears. Like holy water on my skin. Dead man walking, slave to sin, I want to know about being born again. I need you. Oh God, I need you. So take me to the riverside. Take me under baptized. I need you. Oh God, I need you. Your forgiveness, like sweet. Like the sound of a symphony to my ears. Like holy water on my skin. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Your forgiveness, it's like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. Like the sound of a symphony to my ears. Like holy water, your forgiveness. Like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. Like the sound of
like holy water on my skin. Like holy water on my skin. Like holy water.
Wow, grace. Pretty amazing stuff, isn't it? Very powerful, especially in this world as things can be rather challenging at times and coming at us in our face. So I just wanted to touch basis on Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width, height and depth of God's love. Boy, that's an ever-learning process, isn't it? And to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow, pretty neat time. Let me just open up in prayer for Freddie, and then Freddie will go ahead and take it. God is so good. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you, Lord, that you're with us through these times of change. Things aren't always easy, and sometimes we just don't understand what the future is. But one thing we can be guaranteed is that you know our future. You have things lined up before we even knew they were lined up. You have the new pastor lined up, and whoever that is, Father. And we get to be part of that through prayer, through our board, and through our church body as we come together. You will give us the wisdom, and we're just counting on that. Lord, bless Freddie's message to us and open our eyes and ears that we may hear what you want to share with us. Amen.
All right, church. How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. We have an awesome God, huh? Amazing Father, don't we? Yes. He's amazing. He's amazing. You know, I can't help to say that, you know, the Holy Spirit, man, he does stuff, right? You know, I could just feel him in my stomach that just kind of wants to burst out, right? So just take a moment, close your eyes, and just, you know, just bask in him if you can, just for a minute before we start, just because I just feel like I got to say this. You know, philosophers and scholars have made an attempt to try to describe the very concept of God. And the closest thing that they could come up with, and it aligns with what the word says, is that he is the breath of life. His spirit was breathed into us. Just breathe that in, right? Just take it all in. Such a beautiful thing. And I felt like I wanted to start off with that just because, you know, we're being blessed every day. We're growing every day in Christ, right? And I know that we're going through some changes, and personally, you know, my family's been going through some changes. So what a fitting concept that I could talk about today. So before we begin, I wanted to, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for considering me a clean vessel to deliver your word today, Lord. And that that in my message, I encourage people. That the Holy Spirit encourages you to look at the topic. And I hope that by the time you walk out of here, you find the truth and wisdom behind the message. Okay? I want to thank our veterans. Thank you. Our veterans, our first responders, thank you for putting your life in front of ours. Okay? Mm. I want to thank our moms, our aunts, our sisters, our grandmas, our great-grandmothers. Thank you so much for putting up with us men. Okay, we know that you do a lot, and we really, really appreciate you. Okay. So, you know, I prayed on this, and, you know, over the last 8 months, for those of you that know me and my family, we moved. We moved from Solano County, and we uprooted and decided to move over here. And that in itself carried a level of anxiety, right? Carried a level of fear, right? You know, leaving our two children behind, Quentin and Cameron, they're still in Solano County. So there was a little bit of angst there, right? Not to mention, back in March, my company went through a change. And we ended up losing millions and millions of dollars because of this change. So it created a sense of anxiety and stress. And again, right, transition and change just really did its number on me, to the point to where for a while, and you could ask my wife, I had a twitch in my eye, and I couldn't shake it, right? But I knew that I was under a lot of pressure and a lot of stress. So, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is my message today is to let you know that change is a part of life, and I think we all understand that to a certain extent, right? We're always changing. Things are always changing, right? So that's the message that I wanted to get across today, is sometimes change could be perceived as a negative thing, and there's obviously growth associated with change, and it kind of makes us feel a little uncomfortable. I mean, am I the only one here, right? Makes us feel uncomfortable. So I'm probably going to pry a little bit, and I'm going to do a little bit of meddling here. So I'm hoping that you find some truth to it. I know you will. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. I mean, I know that because, you know, I've been transitioning all my life, right? Especially with Christ, with my walk with Christ. So, all right. So change is something that we deal with. And I wanted to have a little bit of fun here, age us a little bit, and really understand what type of change we've been exposed to. Can you go to the next slide? So changes over the years, right? Changes over the years, right? I mean, this is happening every day. I mean, who remembers the phone booths, right? I mean, I don't think you even see one anymore, right? You don't. You just don't. How about the rotary phone, right? So how about when you made a mistake, you actually have to start over, right? And then, right? You know, another cool change that I've seen over the years is, you know, how about typewriters? I mean, how many of us could type 50 words a minute? Come on, man. All right, do I got 60? 70? 80? Oh, there we go. We got 70 over here, typewriters, right? Now, I mean, 120? Right, so now we have a smartphone. That's something? With apps in it, right? Along with social media, right? Change. Who remembers a checkbook and a registry? You guys remember registering, right? That's amazing. Now we have ATMs. And here's a story for you. So, gosh, about maybe 3 months ago, I was at Safeway, and someone was paying with the check, and I actually caught myself getting frustrated with that person. I'm like, what are you doing? Who uses a check? Right? So now there's ATM. My wife's probably going to get embarrassed, but I just recently found out that chip right there, is that you could actually use it for something. You swipe it out. You don't have to insert your card. You just swipe it and it takes it. Isn't that something? I didn't know that. Now I do. Next slide. All right, more change, right? So we've gone from cashiers to now doing yourself checkout, right? Change, transition, automation, right? from shopping at a store to actually shopping online. Who would have thunk that? 15 years ago, if you would have told me that I would be buying something online, I'd say, well, what are you talking? Don't you want to feel it and check it out, put it on before you actually purchase it, right? So now it's done online. Change. Transition. Next slide. Yeah, so life itself is change. I mean, we're just constantly moving and changing. Who's become parents in the last 5 years? Right here, right? How about grandparents? Mm-hmm. Great-grandparents? Amen. Aren't kids amazing? Yeah, they're a gift, right? Graduations. How many of us have attended graduations in the last 2 years, 3 years? Yeah. Transition. Change. Right? Relocations. New jobs. Yeah, pretty scary stuff. Single life to married life. How many of you know someone that just recently got married? Okay. New friends, new family, and this just doesn't apply to that, but also relationships. In the last 2 years, 3 years, how many relationships have you mended or created? Yeah. Right? So we're constantly changing, going through a transition. Okay? Next slide. All right, so I'll tell you a story as to why, and I did some research and, you know, from a personal experience, obviously. Why are we afraid of change? Why does the concept of change bring a certain level of anxiety to us? Right? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because in change, there's probably something associated with the fact that something needs to change about you towards the situation or the circumstance. There's a growth opportunity there. Right? And it's very difficult. Right? Because we're stuck in our ways. We want to feel comfortable. It's human nature for us to do that, right? Amen? All right. So I had a mentor. And I'm a big believer of mentors just because I think that there's growth opportunities and the Lord puts people in front of you for a particular reason, right? So I had a mentor. I had three mentors. Me being a mentor is a part of that, right? A mentor who always was very bold and always told me the truth. Is it that type of mentor that you just didn't want to call because you knew that after you finished off getting off the phone with them, right? He'd tell you the truth and you'd actually probably be more upset with him after you got off the phone with him then, right? So I've had that type of mentor, and those types of mentors are very good. The Bible says as iron sharpens iron, two are better than one, right? Amen? Right? So this mentor, when I first started walking with Christ, and he gave me a revelation. He's like, Freddie, I want you to sit down, and went through this process, and he says, I want you to put a circle, put your name in the middle of it, something like that, and I want you to write down all your problems around your name. So I did. I had 10 or 15 of them. And he said, Freddie, what do those problems have in common? What do all your problems have in common? You. That's me. And I knew at that point, right, that there needed to be a significant change in me, right? So during times of transition and change, right, there's a certain aspect of you that needs to change as well, okay? And so during these transitions and changes, you know, we have a difficult time, right? If we're having a difficult time adjusting, is because there's probably something within that change that makes us feel a little vulnerable. Right? Next slide. So this is where I'm going to get a little bit interactive, okay? I did some research, and the five common reasons we don't like change is fear of failure, fear of pain, right? Fear of discomfort and effort, fear of success, fear of criticism, fear of the new. And by looking at this, the thing in common there is fear. Fear, right? And so I really want to slow down right now and talk to you about how important it is for us to be thinking Christians. Having a Christ-like mind is also, you also have to be a thinking Christian, be able to manage your emotions and your emotional intelligence, have a concept of that, okay? So, and I'll tell you what I mean. So that's why I think it's so important for us to put on our armor every day, our armor of God. So I'm going to read from the book of Ephesians and tell you exactly why it's so important. Ephesians 6:10, the whole armor of God. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you, let me get this up here, so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes with the good news, so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith. Stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay? So during change and transition, we need to be aware that there are temptations that come with that. Okay? Jesus himself went through that. After Jesus got baptized, he went off into the desert for 40 days. Right? He went off to the desert for 40 days, and the evil one tempted him. So I'm going to go to the book of Matthew, and it's important that we understand the enemy's schemes. Very important to understand that. And I'm gonna go to chapter 4, and the enemy tempts us in three different ways. Lust of the flesh, okay? Lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The reason I bring this up is because, like I mentioned to you, we need to put the word to action. Right here. We need to put the word to action. And I know that sometimes throughout the day we forget, but we need to be conscientious that when we're being challenged, that when we're being put through a season of growth, that we have the word to help us get through these challenges. Okay? All right. So, chapter 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. Lust of the flesh, right? So far, following me? Am I losing you? Okay, good, good. Okay. During the time, the devil came in and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Okay? So, where's the mouth of God? Okay? Right here, it's the word. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, look at, check this out, right? This is how the evil one works. And so by the way, so I'll get back to this, but by the way, the evil one is the master of lies. So I'm in sales. I'm going to deviate for a little bit. I'm in sales, right? And sales management. And during my career, I've always felt like when I need to make sales calls to someone new or whatever the case is, a new potential client, if I don't make those calls, he'll make me feel guilty for not making the calls, right? But then I'll make the calls, and then he'll tell me I didn't do a good job. So I'm condemned anyways, right? And thank God for the word, and that's how it is. So anyways, back to what I'm saying. So the evil one uses the word. He will, and he says, he will order his angels to protect you, talking to Jesus, and they will hold you up with their hands so you don't even hurt your foot on the stone. So the evil one goes back, uses the word to show, hey, right? Tries to trick Jesus. And Jesus responds, the scriptures say you must not test the Lord your God. He goes on. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I'll give it to you all, he said, if you kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus replies. For scripture says you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away and the angels came back and took care of Jesus. So there's lust of the flesh, an example. Pride of life, lust of the flesh, and lust of the eyes. So when we're going through these transitions and changes in our lives, okay, we need to understand where and how the evil one tempts us. Make sense? Okay. So this is a lie right here. Fear. Fear is a lie. False evidence appearing real. That someone told me that at one point in time. Fear. That's what it stands for. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to invite Fred to go through an exercise with me, just so we understand how we can protect ourselves. Push-ups. How we could protect ourselves. Okay. And this is an application. I'm big on application. I think that practicing the Word of God and putting it in our lives, right, allows us to grow within, get closer to Christ, because ultimately that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get closer to Christ, be more Christ-like, so when we go out into the world, we're doing the same exact same thing, okay? So one of my biggest fears is that I can't care for my family, okay? So just understand the sequence of questions, and I think Dave, does he have the devotional? Yes. Okay. So then what we're going to do is we're going to bucket up against the word and cast down that doubt. And I know we know this. I know some of us know this, where we're being challenged, then we bring the word in to be able to nullify what the enemy's trying to tell us. And that's great. But we need to do it consistently. Okay? All right. So, Fred, one of my biggest fears, Fred, is that I can't, you know, is for me to lose my job and not be able to take care of my family.
And then what, Freddie?
Well, if I can't take care of my family and I lose my job, then I'm going to lose my house.
And then what, Freddie?
So if I lose my house, then I may lose my wife and my kids.
And then what, Freddie?
Well, then, if I lose my wife and my kids and I lose my house, then I'm going to be left alone.
And then what, Freddie?
Then if I'm left alone, I feel like I'm not good enough. and I have fear.
And then what, Freddie?
Well, and then at that point, I get the word. So do you want to read from the word there real quick? So there's a lot of I. Do you guys hear a lot of I in that, right?
Experiencing fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Romans 8:15.
One more. Read one more.
One more. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. 1 John 4:18.
Amen, right? So, you know, as I started walking with Christ, all these attacks, or whatever you want to call them, that voice of condemnation would always come in, and I realized, and that's why it's so important for us to just to accept the Holy Spirit and have him in our hearts, so he could help us determine the truths from the lies and have scripture and combat those things to be able to overcome that. You know, you got to put the word to our lives every day. Amen? And during changes and transitions, it could be somewhat difficult to see. And that's why we have the church. That's why we have us. That's why we get mentors. That's why, you know, you lean on brothers and sisters to help you. And ultimately, we know that through Christ, we're changing. Right? So, we're not alone. Change is a fact of life. And we are not alone. And I'll prove it to you. Next slide. Bible characters are transformed by God. I mean, right? We have Paul that went from a prosecutor to a preacher. Change, transition. Right? I mean, Paul played a role on killing Stephen, who was a man of Christ. He was there. On the road to Damascus, talk about change. Jesus blinded him. He couldn't see. So he came back again, change and transition. He even changed his name. His name was Saul. Moses, from killer to leader. We all know the story about Moses, right? As a baby, he was put in the Nile River, picked up by Pharaoh's daughter. Grew up, saw Pharaoh beat a Hebrew, killed him, ran. God changed him. Led the Israelites out of Egypt. That's change, right?
Yeah.
You're taking them out, and the Israelites were complaining to him. They said, why'd you take us out of Egypt? At least we have food there. Change, transition. And that wasn't 1, 2, 3 years. That was 40 years, right? Joseph from rejected to ruler. Well, what a story. I mean, wow. You get sold by your brothers? I mean, some of us would probably like to, right? But yeah, what a story of victory and triumph. That's something. I mean, I see Romans 8:28 right there, man. It's like crazy. It's just a beautiful thing, right? So he was sold by his own brothers, his own flesh and blood, into slavery. He goes into prison, right? God uses his God-given ability to interpret dreams. Establishes a relationship with the Pharaoh, right? Then he runs into his brothers when the country was going through famine. I mean, how can you... And that's why I love the word That's why I love it, because if you have a question in your life, you'll find it. You'll find it. You will find it. Okay? Elijah, that's another change and transition. He went from fearful to faithful. He had an encounter with God on a mountain. Brings back a kid from the dead. Right? We all know that story. And he became one of the most fervent, faithful prophets. David, from sheep herder to king. I mean, he's out there, you know, protecting sheep and taking down bears and lions. He gets called to fight Goliath. I mean, I'd be scared, right? I would be scared. And he tells Goliath, "You come to me with the sword, and I come with you with God and heaven's armies." Man, change, transition. How wrap your head around, you know, going from sheep herding to getting into a battle with a guy that's 8-10 feet tall, right? To running a kingdom. Right? And that's only a quarter of his life. There's other stuff too, right? That we all know. Change and transition over the years. Right? Of course, Mary Magdalene, she went from demonic to a disciple. Again, change and transition. It's there, it's going, right? And you know, so we're not new to change. We have people that have experienced change in the Bible, right? That could teach us and show us, right? So during transition and change, there's, you know, we get tempted. Right here, the Word to help us, right? Next slide. During times of transition and change, remember, Hebrews 13:8 says what? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he stays the same. That's what the Word says. Things change, things wither away, but the Word doesn't change.
Amen.
Yeah? Amen. Psalms 104:27, "But you remain the same, and your years will never end." So before I started walking with Christ, you know, I always thought, hey, I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave my name as my leg, all proud, right? Like a proud dad. And the more I walk with him, I realize that things fade. This too will pass, just like everything else. Right? So I want to be remembered as someone who actually followed Christ and did his best. That's what I want to remember that as. Say, hey, Dad was a Christ follower. Next slide. I love this one. Right? Change. In Christ, we're changing daily. Change gets us closer to God. Experiencing change gets us closer to God. 2 Corinthians 4:16, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day." Hallelujah. Philippians 1:6, I love this one too. "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in me will carry it on to the completion until the day Christ Jesus returns." That's something. So that's telling me that I'm growing more like him, and I'm going through change. The first beatitude talks about, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit." And I know I've mentioned this, but for some reason that's just been ringing in my ear, in my head. I don't know why. But being blessed, the concept of being blessed is being made holy. is being made holy. Not that you are holy, not that you were, but it's the actual process of being made holy. Transition and change. Does that make sense? But we have the word here that says, until I am complete in Jesus Christ. Your current season prepares you for the next. Things we gain from changes and transition help us and equip us for the next season. See, and the beautiful thing about all this is that he already has it figured out.
Yes, he does. He
already has it figured out. In our transition right now as a church, he's already picked out a pastor. He already figured it out. He already has the answer. Right? So anything that we're going through, he's equipping us for the next phase of our life, our next season. Okay? We strengthen our faith and trust muscle. Change drives us closer to God. You ever figure when you're stressed out or you have anxiety and you're, you know, praying and you feel like you get closer to him? You know, you kind of get closer to him because you're praying and you're praying for someone else or so on and so forth. You're doing meditating. You get closer to him during the times of change. So can it really be about the change? Think about that for a minute. Can it really be about the change? Or is it more about building our relationship with Christ? Wow! Right? It's more about building our relationship with him than it is about the outcomes of the things in our lives. Why? Because those fade. Those things fade. Money fades. Your house fades. But our relationship with Christ grows and strengthens, and he will never change.
Amen.
Next slide. As Christians, we realize that we don't live in the outcomes or results. We live by the very concept of trust and faith. And developing a stronger relationship with Christ, we grow through our changes, not just go through them. Okay? So, I go back to what I said, right? The change that we're experiencing, the transitions that we're experiencing in our lives, sometimes expose certain things about us that require a sense of change in us before we could actually take it out. One. Two, it grows us closer to Christ.
Yes.
And it's not so much the outcome. It's the very fact that you're actually sitting down and communing with Christ. That's what he wants. And I'm here to tell you that he loves every single one of you guys. And he wants him to do that.
Right.
He wants you guys to do that. All congregation to do that. Get closer to him. Love on him. Say, Lord, you know, I need you. I don't have a plan B. You're plan B. You're the Alpha and the Omega and everything in between. And you know what? I'm enjoying the ride. The Bible says we need a sacrifice or thanksgiving. The book of James says we're to be joyful in every circumstance. I know it's hard. It's super difficult. You know, my wife and I, when we moved here, you know, we made every attempt to try to prepare ourselves for the move, specifically the hard times and the challenges. The times where, you know, the enemy comes in and says, you made the wrong move. You made an error. So we did everything in our power to prepare ourselves for this, mentally, emotionally, and we knew that we were going to go through this season of anguish where things just didn't feel right. And as much as we try to overcome that and be prepared, when we're going through changes, it's different, right? When you're actually experiencing, you can't see the forest through the trees, right? It feels different when you're actually in the change than actually stepping out and looking at it from a much larger point of view. So we did everything in our power to prepare ourselves, but guess what happened, right? You still start, you know, you struggle with it. So the perspective of growing through the change and actually embracing it, right? Taking that risk to try something new, taking a risk of understanding that growth is a part of our lives and not being afraid to change with the help of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, right? And I'll tell you that a lot of my fears during times of change really comes to the fact that I don't think I'm enough. I don't think I'm enough. And I'll tell you what, I'm not. I'm not. But whose grace is enough for me? I am enough in Jesus Christ. I am enough. If I build my identity around Him, and I am enough in Him. That's what the Word says. He is the anchor of my soul. Yet we have to put it to work. We have to put the Word to work. And I encourage you, document your thoughts. Take every thought captive. Buck it up against the Word. Let's lean on each other as a congregation. Get a mentor. Get a mentor that mentors you up. Get a mentor that just listens. You know, right? That's just going to listen. And then also be a mentor. Surround yourself around people that are going to build you, listen, and you're also going to give that back. We just can't be consumers, right? We also got to be able to make deposits. Amen? All right. Next slide. I think that's it. Yeah? So I don't know if change is, all I know is that change is it's a life thing. Okay? We have the resources and the tools to help us through tough times, and it's right here. And each other. And I don't know if I'm speaking to anyone today, and I know that our congregation is going through some changes right now. But if I am speaking to you, you know, it's you're not alone. God loves you. And just know that through seasons of change and transition, there's characters in the Bible that experience this. And I encourage you, look them up, read and study the Bible, and know that this is the breath of life right here, and He's given it to you. This is the breath of life. Just breathe it in and let the Holy Spirit work inside of you during times of change. Because there's something there for you to learn, and then there's also something there for you to grow from. Just allow him to work in you. And I don't know, church, gosh, what if we saw change from the eyes of Jesus? And I, you know, how would we see change? If we could just see change as an opportunity as a church, change and transition as something to grow on, wouldn't that be a good thing? It'd be a fabulous thing. So that's the message that I had for you today. And Lord, I just really want to say thank you. I hope that in my message today with change, Lord, that, you know, the word wisdom just comes to my mind, Lord, and truth. That we have the ability to decipher the truth from all the noise that we have in the world and all the pain. That we focus on just the changes and the fact that in that change, you're there. That's what your word says. And that your grace is enough for us, Lord. Allow us to see you in everything that we do, Lord, and guide us, whether if it's at our jobs or whether if it's at the church or if whether it's in our family. Let us understand the truth behind the change in everything that we do. Grow us, Lord. Grow us through our changes. Just don't allow us to go through the change, but grow it. And ultimately, we want to say thank you for being sovereign Thank you for being anything, everyone, every place, every circumstance, all for your glory, Lord, because that's really why we're here. Lord, you're the refiner. You're the refiner. You're preparing us for a next season, and I just really want to say thank you for that. So I'm going to finish it off. This is a book by Stormy O'Martian. It's called Lead Me, Holy Spirit. And it's a prayer. Lord, I worship you and thank you for your love towards me, towards us. Thank you for your spirit of love dwelling in my heart so that we are grounded in your love. Help us to comprehend the width, length, depth, and the height of your love. Enable us to continuously receive the love of Christ, which passes all understanding, so that we may be filled with all of the fullness of God. We open up our heart to receive more of the flow of your love filling in our lives. We surrender to you and ask that you penetrate my mind, our minds, our emotions, and our heart with love in every ever-deepening ways. Help us to be led and controlled by your Spirit every hour of the day. Teach us on your amazing love so that we see how to love others the way you do. Help us to see every person from the perspective of your love for them. We know that though we speak like angels, but we don't have love, we are just making noise. And if we have the faith to move a mountain, but we don't have love, we are nothing. We pray your spirit of love will flow powerfully through us at all times. Help us to be motivated by your love and everything that we do, so that it accomplishes what you want, Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. And thank you.
I sure appreciate Freddie being available and everybody who spoke, making yourselves available to our congregation. I think that's an awesome message, and I think that spending time with Jesus, making ourselves available to have that quiet time with him, and he shows up, right? Awesome. Well, I pray that you're blessed for this week. Go and spend quality time with Jesus. Hope. What? Oh, pray. Okay, gotcha. All right. So Debbie is hosting, and several volunteers are pulling together our ice cream social. And I just pray God would bless our feeding of the ice cream. It's kind of like dessert, right? Because life can be unpredictable, and we're going to go with dessert first. But let me just bless that real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the message that Freddie has shared with us. And that, Lord, you are active. Your word is living. And it's there for us. And Father, help us to get beyond our fears that we can come humbly before you and just receive what you have to offer us. We ask that you bless this time of fellowship and feeding on the desserts and ice cream that are out there. But Father, we just appreciate that this body loves each other. Have a wonderful week in Jesus' name. Amen.